before we get started, I want to acknowledge something and just let everyone know that on Tuesday is Veterans Day. So I just want to take this moment for this week that, you know, thank you and pause and just say thank you to those who have served in the armed forces, those who are currently serving, those who are watching online, just to recognize what they're doing, because, you know, that freedom to be able to kind of sing and just know that we're here and doing this is from a lot of those efforts. So we just thank you. And then also, on top of Veterans Day, a day that a few of us in here acknowledge a little bit more than others, is tomorrow, which is the 250th Marine Corps birthday. And there's a, so, yep. Not everyone is in here, but there's a few of us in here who know what it feels like to stand on those yellow footprints and cry. So thank you to those who did that. Yeah, pretty much. That one phone call was, please come pick me up. Thank you to all those veterans, and thank you to those who joined the Marine Corps. Happy birthday to my fellow Marines. So, there we go. All right, but Peter, you know, one thing I love to think about with veterans and Veterans Day is acknowledging those who are taking that courage, taking that chance to stand courage, right? And that is what we're getting into, and that's what we've been talking about in Acts 2. Peter taking this stand for something he believes in, taking this stand with courage through the Spirit that he is now indwelled with, okay? So we want to say that, you know, Peter taking this stand to the gospel. Because remember, what, just a few months ago, Peter was what? The one who denied Christ. So this courage, so this morning, our sermon this morning is actually called The Courage to Speak Truth. Last week, we spoke about how Peter took that stand and stood up and addressed the crowd, because the crowd was asking, what does this mean? And Peter, with the courage from the Holy Spirit and the words from the Holy Spirit, stood up and spoke to the crowd. His first sermon, his first time speaking to thousands. It wasn't polished. It wasn't refined. It probably wasn't written down. It was from him through the Holy Spirit. And it was Spirit-filled truth. And that is what we get to see. So the man who once denied Christ now stands before thousands, boldly declaring his name. But remember, I want to remind us this morning that the Spirit who spoke through Peter still speaks through us today. And so if you have your Bibles, would you join with me? We're going to start in Acts 2, verse 22, just after Peter says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now Peter is getting into this conversation and addressing fellow Israelites. So, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would send, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we have read these words and as we go into this time, that you would just guide us by the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would just lead us through these words this morning to just grow closer to you. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do in our lives. In your name we pray. So this is Peter's first sermon, okay? This is Peter's first time really stepping out. Now, he might have had conversations, but after Jesus' ascension, this is his first sermon that he's giving. And in just these 15 verses, Peter is really showing us what faithful and witness should look like. So Peter has no credentials other than being an apostle, which is a pretty big credential. But he has no college degree. He has no paper that says, I went and studied for 2 years of this or that. What he does have, though, is the knowledge of Scripture through the Holy Spirit. He has the Holy Spirit, and he knows the risen Savior. And through that, his courage and confidence comes from the Holy Spirit to now declare God's word. He is sharing it. He's not sharing it from his own strength. And that's one thing I want to point out this morning. He is sharing it through the strength and power from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we might be saying, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say this. There's a lot of times that I'm reading through and making my sermon. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to come across, but we just trust in the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say, Lord, guide me. Speak through me. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And sometimes, church, I just think that somewhere along the way, churches have gotten how simple this really is. Okay? We've traded simplicity for spectacle. The lights, the cameras, the TV monitors. You know, maybe it's just time we went back to basics. Amen? Peter had the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And he spoke to thousands. So even though we have all this stuff, we have all these things, that's not what is drawing people in to God's heart. So if we compare ourselves, you know, and I'm just speaking truthfully, I'm human, right? There's a lot of times where I might sit there, my wife can attest to this, she can tell you that it's true. Sometimes I sit there on the front porch with my wife, and I'm just like, when is it going to happen? When is stuff going to happen? When is like a big church, like all these things, right? We can put ourselves in that mindset. If you have a job, you might say, when is that next raise? When is the next promotion coming? But what's happening? And we have this time. And you know, but if I myself as a pastor am looking for the next step to be the size of the room, the size of the TV, the amount of lights we have, then I've lost my perspective. And sometimes my wife, well, not sometimes, all the time, she looks at me and she's like, you're there. You're here. We're preaching the Word of God. What I was praying for 5, 10 years ago to be able to walk into my office, sit down, open the Word of God, and study for my sermon on Sundays is here. And I praise God for that. So if we lose sight and say it's about the lights and stuff like that, we need to remember that just get back to basics. It's not about the size of the church. It's about the openness to the Word of God. I would challenge somebody to say, okay, we go to this great church, we go and they sing great songs. They have great programs, they have all this stuff, and I'd be like, great. Do they open the Word of God? You guys get into the Word of God. And that's where we find it. So sometimes I just tell myself, you know, let's get back to basics. Let's just simply speak truth to each other. Let's share the words of God. So Peter is pointing to Jesus, not a spectacle. Okay? Peter is pointing to truth over performance. And we're going to see next week how much that impact that makes when 3,000 in that moment accept Christ. So what Peter is doing is he is simply just reading the Word of God. He is saying, let's get back to basics. He first starts off when he quotes God's promise that David foresaw Jesus' resurrection. He quotes Psalm 16, 8 through 11, words from King David written thousands of years earlier. So David speaks of a holy one who would not see decay. David speaks of the Savior. So David's tomb was still sealed. And Peter points this out. David has died. David was not speaking about himself in this. He was speaking about revealing Christ. He was speaking about the risen King. So every passage that we point to, every conversation we have, points to our Lord, points to a risen Savior. So David was not speaking about himself because his tomb was right there. In Jerusalem, still sealed. Oh, and if we're going to be honest, his body was decayed. Okay? So David was looking ahead to the Messiah when he was speaking. He was looking ahead to the one who would not decay, the one who would not stay dead, which is Jesus. And this is where Peter teaches simply through Scripture itself. Peter's not trying to fabricate something. He's not trying to figure out words. He's not trying to say, how do I say this? He simply shares Scripture and lets Scripture reveal Christ to the crowd. Okay? So another thing, if you are sitting there and you're like, if you want to talk to somebody and you have questions, go to the Word of God. I'm one of those people, and people might challenge me on this. It's fine. But I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. I believe that no matter what we go through, if we look to Scripture, we have the answer. And Peter is pointing that out. Okay, you have questions. He's talking to the fellow Israelites, those who came together, and they're saying, what does this mean? Peter's like, let's talk about it. This is what it means. And he points directly back to Scripture. He doesn't go around it. He's showing that every word of Scripture points to Jesus. And every point, every part of our life should also do. So when the crowd at Pentecost heard this, they were beginning to understand what we still wrestle with today, which the Word of God will always demand answer. Every page that we read, that we open to, points to Jesus. But the question will remain, what will we do? You can read it, you can have the knowledge of it, but what will you do with this knowledge, with the words of God? So he's not just explaining scripture. He's pointing the people that he's talking to make a choice. And that same claim still stands for us today. It's still saying, what is the word of God saying? And how do we respond? And then Peter touches on the resurrection and the exaltation of Jesus by speaking into that fact. Because he speaks, when he goes into verse 32, he's speaking of the Lord who reigns. And that Jesus is alive and exalted. Peter says it plainly. He says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses. These people who they might not feel that they rejected Jesus. They might not feel that they said, oh, we didn't put those nails in. We didn't do that. We didn't crucify him. They didn't follow him. They didn't believe who he was. Okay? They didn't believe that he was Son of Man, Son of God. So this resurrection isn't just a metaphor, okay? It's this reality that changes everything. If Jesus died and didn't rise again, everything would have been able to say, oh, okay, that was fake. But Jesus rose. Jesus is alive. Tomb is empty. Which means everything he said, true. I don't remember the exact number, and it's a ridiculous amount to like the decimal point of 0.00, like, no. But to be able to fulfill even one prophecy in the Bible by anybody is very hard. And then to go to two is like almost impossible. But Jesus, the amount that he fulfilled, points to no one other than the Son of God. And now, on top of that, on top of all the miracles he did, on top of all the things he showed, from God, that he was from God, they still didn't believe. And then on top of that, he rose from the grave. People still didn't believe. At the beginning of this chapter, people are saying, what does this mean? And Peter's telling them, this is what was supposed to happen. This is what was foretold. Everything that they saw that day, the wind, the fire, the power, proved that Jesus reigns on the throne. In Mark 16, verse 19, it says, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken with them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. There's this mentality. I don't understand it. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We're human. But what I don't understand sometimes is, when we think about the fact, okay, Jesus is not here, we have this mentality to be out of sight, out of mind. Jesus isn't sitting here with us. Jesus is alive. Jesus is reigning. Jesus is at the throne. Which means Jesus is... All right? So Jesus is here. Jesus is alive, watching us all. So, with that being said, do you really want to stay in your... Because let's face it, we all have it. Everything from sneaking that little cookie to something way more drastic, we have that mindset, oh, nobody can see this. Well, the one who matters can. That's our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. He sees it all. And then Peter quotes another scripture in, you know, Psalm 110. Says the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So David is pointing out and sharing that David is calling the Messiah my Lord, showing that the king, the coming king, would be greater than Israel's greatest king. That Peter is pointing out to this clear and powerful message that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy because he is risen, he reigns, and he now pours out his Spirit to empower his church. So Jesus is not waiting to reign someday. Jesus is not waiting to start this. He is reigning right now. And let me tell you something. You cannot have him as a savior without crowning him as king. Think about that. When we think about the king or, you know, the Queen of England, right? And people are pouring in, and how much respect do they give a person? Even us, let's be honest. If I go to England right now and I had the opportunity and they said, this is how you're going to walk, this is how you're going to talk, this is how you're going to approach the queen, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're not going to do, you better believe that all of us are going to be like, okay, right? She's a person. That is a person. Yet we all sit in here and we don't approach God the same way. We don't even approach him as someone who's living with us with that respect. We're like, I'll call on you when I need you. No. He is reigning now. The King of Kings. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen, okay? When we all face judgment and that time comes and there's people like Muhammad and all these other people that's saying, all roads lead to Christ. Guess what? They're going to kneel down on their knee with the rest of us and proclaim God as king. Because all roads don't lead to God. Jesus leads to God. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we surrender to Jesus, the reigning king now rules our heart. And that same spirit that David talks about, that same spirit that Peter is speaking about that raised him from the dead is now alive and working in you. That's why courage isn't about personality. It's about your proximity. Okay, and I did not have this. I wanted to do this analogy so bad. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll share it later. I can't share it later. So here's what we're going to do. If Debbie's watching, she's going to hate me, okay? All right, can somebody hand me a pamphlet in the back of the... Yep, go for it. All right. Does anyone have the index cards in the back of their chair? Just like the white index cards or a piece of paper. Maybe not one of these cards. They're kind of expensive. Okay? Anybody have anything, a piece of paper, what you want? You can hand those out really quick, Steve, if you want. What I want you guys to do real fast, we're going to do this super quick. Just ball up whatever you have like this. Give you guys 10 seconds. Just ball up whatever you want. Piece of trash out of your purse. Don't care. Piece of bubble gum that you put in the wrapper, I hope. Okay? And then hold it up. All right. Whoever has it held up, I want you to do something for me. All right, you ready? Ready for this? All right, on the count of three, I want you to throw it and hit this table from where you're standing. All right? That's not three. Oh, ye of little faith. All right. On the count of three. One, two, three. I got one. All right. Barely anybody hit it, right? Did you guys try? Did you guys do it? Okay, ready for this? Am I any different than you? Am I human like you? Do I have sin like you? Let me do it again. This is God. Not literally, for those who are online trying to think this, don't take that out of context, okay? But if this were God, I am the sinner just like you. I am no different than any of you. The only thing that changes right here is my proximity to God. The closer we are to God, easier it is for us to stay within him. I can do this, maybe not all day, but I can do this all day. and I will keep making it because I am close to God. It doesn't change the fact of who I am. You guys aren't any different than me. You're just further away from the source. So if you stay close to God in your life, okay? I'm going to have to pick all this up. If you stay close to God in your life, when someone comes to you and approaches you and is asking you questions, it is easy to go straight to the source and speak the truth. But if you are back there doing your own thing, living your own life, having your own little party, and someone's like, how do you, let's talk about God. Okay, I'm going to throw it. I'm going to lobby it. And you keep missing. Maybe it's because you aren't close enough to the source that you need to be. Maybe it's because you are not close enough to God in your life. Peter was close to God. Peter was a sinner. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. So remember this, that it's about our proximity to Christ. And what we see through that. So every time a heart is transformed or the gospel is spread, that's proof that Jesus is. But how close are you? God. We believe in him. We acknowledge him. We say he's our Lord and Savior. Say that he saved our life. How close are you? And this, when Peter is talking, he's saying that the Savior who calls will always give us a chance to respond. So Peter ends his message with truth and grace, saying that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. It's convicting them of their involvement of sin, but also inviting them to come to Jesus Christ in the same breath. So he's not shaming them, he's not pointing at them, he's not putting them down. He's showing them that the only path to freedom is repentance and surrender to a risen Christ. So in verse 37, what we're going to hit on next, we're going to start next week. But I just wanted to share it with you because it's just so good. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. So even before Peter spoke, the Spirit was already moving in their hearts, preparing them for this moment, preparing them for God's grace. He stirs conviction before we even know we need it. This prevenient grace that goes out before that we talked about, drawing us towards repentance, faith. So the gospel is always going to demand a response, but Peter is just faithful. Peter is just sharing who he knows. He didn't try to embellish anything. He didn't try to add anything. He didn't try to do anything extra. When this crowd that gathered said, what does this mean? He stood up boldly because he had the power of the Holy Spirit with him. He said, share this with you. I feel that we live right now in the most amazing time to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because in all honesty, we don't have to know it. Now, should we know it? I want us all to know it, okay? Hear me in that. But don't allow you thinking you have lack of knowledge hinder you from allowing the Holy Spirit to use you and allowing you to speak truth. Because if God has saved you, if you have seen Christ in your life, if you have seen his working, if you have seen him improve your life, my life is tremendously better than what it ever would have been without Christ. I'm pretty darn sure that I wouldn't even be around. Okay? If I did not know God right now or did not meet God, I don't know how many years ago, a minute ago, I probably wouldn't be here. And if I was still here, I wouldn't be nice. I wouldn't be a good person at all. I'm not good half the time now. I'm still human. But I strive every day. But the gospel is going to demand a response. We can't stay neutral once we hear truth. So Peter's crowd wasn't made up of murderers and thieves. I want us to understand that. It was made up of ordinary religious people who thought they were fine with God. It was made up of people who were there to celebrate the Lord. Okay? And Peter probably points at them, but he says, "You crucified." And it's because sin is personal. Your sin, my sin, our pride, our self-resilience. I want you guys to think about this right now. That crowd was gathered and he was saying, "You put those nails in his hands. You drove those nails in because of your sin." Christ died to save all, pay the penalty for all sin. So please understand, you are sitting in this room, God loves you, but because of your sin and my sin, we also put those nails in. We are sin, but God had a plan. God knew. God, through our sin, still came out on top. Still gave us a way. Still gave us a path. Still gave us a way to say, repent, be saved. Because next week, that's what we're going to get into. When they ask him, they were cut to the hearts, and they said, "What shall I do?" Peter replies to them with one simple sentence, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Christ." And that's what we're going to do next week. So if Jesus truly reigns in your life, if Jesus is truly your king, why do we not live as if he is? Why do we stay when the Spirit provokes us to speak? Because the same risen Christ who filled Peter with courage through the Holy Spirit fills us to this day. So the church does not need more polish. The church does not need more lights. The church simply needs more people who believe that Jesus is alive and reigning right now to share the gospel. So this week, I want you to take the opportunity to speak his truth courageously. When that moment comes, and you're like, "Oh, I don't know what to say." Don't try to be impressive. Don't try to make it bigger than it has to be. Just be back to basics. If you don't know scripture, if you don't know where it says in Isaiah and blah, blah, blah for this and that, and you can't do that, guess what? I can't either. Do you know how many times I have to write stuff down? Like, I write it, I say it, it's gone. Like, I do not retain at all very well. But we all have a story. We all can say, Christ saved me. This is who I was before God, before Christ. I met Jesus. I had the chance to respond, repent of my sins. And this is who I am now through life with Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have your testimony, you have your story. Point people to a Savior that saves. So let your life say that I am unashamed of Jesus Christ, which is why I will speak with this gospel with courage. And remember, when we speak out and step out in truth, it is not our strength that carries us, but God's grace working through his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit that worked in Peter and those is still working with us now. So some of you have heard this truth for years, but it's never cut. Maybe today is not just the information that you need. Maybe you really need to say, "I've been following this for a long time, but I've never truly surrendered. I've admired Jesus, never bowed before." Let's pray.